Stay Connected podcast on 93.5. My name is Jared Eastman. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We have your LCS champions in NRG. They had a fantastic, fantastic set of games against first team Liquid in the semifinals on Saturday at the Prudential Center, and then Sunday against Cloud9. I mean, it was just a complete underdog upset on the hands of NRG. They were able to come in, do what they needed to do. They grew from their last time that they faced Cloud9 in what was a complete shutout. Seriously, I mean, look at it. Let's talk about this. Let's get right into it, actually, right here on Fox Sports New Jersey 93.5. Let's start. All right. So Saturday, when they faced against Cloud9, this was the 12th before the finals, it was a complete blowout by Cloud9. 3-0, NRG didn't have a chance. I mean, to be fair, these games, and the commentators did say this, game 1 and 3 were a lot closer than some people say. It's just that the right people were fed for Cloud9. Their objective control was there. They were able to really, you know, kind of dive in on NRG. If the circumstances were changed a little bit, could NRG have at least taken one of these games, if not both? Sure, but that's not what happened. Heading over into Saturday 19th, when they played against Team Liquid in the semifinals, I was actually there. I got invited by the LCS, and it was a fantastic time, first of all. The fan fest that was there, I was able to meet a couple of players on other teams like Dignitas, NRG. I was able to meet Jensen, who I'm a big fan of, and I was able to actually go to the Team Liquid press conference, which was pretty cool. That aside, the games were insane. I was not expecting to go to game five. I really wasn't. And this is a little credit to Team Liquid here. They had, I believe it was the fastest or second fastest game in the LCS, just under like 20 minutes or something like that. I can't remember the exact time, but it was impressive how fast they won. And that was game four. But unfortunately, in game five is where they lost it to NRG. It was just a complete 180 where game four, Team Liquid was the one that was fed. In game number five, NRG just was too strong. And that came from Dokla playing Rumble. I mean, look at this. This is something I took note of Team Liquid's bans. They were very interesting bans. You know, they wanted to stop Palafox from completely dominating them. And they did a good job at that. But the problem was Ignar, with his Rumble plays, were just so good at setting up both Palafox and FBI that it did not matter who they banned. I mean, look at game one, for instance. Dokla had 4 kills, 8 assists, and his ultimates were what ultimately helped them get some of those big kills for FBI, because FBI had 6 kills, 2 deaths. FBI was way ahead of Jan, who only had 2 kills and 3 deaths and 6 assists. And, you know, I'll admit, Pjosig really didn't have it in him. You know, I've seen fantastic gameplay by him and APA. Both, I felt like, were a little lackluster this time around. You know, some of the plays that they had were very not in it and very questionable engages. I felt more so that Pjosig and CoreJJ were sometimes just being too overly aggressive. And that's their style. If that's the style they're going for, sure. But it did not work against NRG, who is also a very aggressive team. FBI was playing Kai'Sa. Kai'Sa is a fantastic, aggressive AD carry who is able to snipe you. And that is what FBI was doing. He was sending out his abilities across the across lanes, across walls, hitting them and doing massive damage to Team Liquid. And that's exactly what gave them such an advantage. And frankly speaking, Team Liquid didn't have the capability or, you know, maybe even the knowledge of how do we counter this? How do we stop FBI from doing this to us? It was such a tough game. Also in game five, and I wish I could have talked to them about this. I wish they didn't pick Gnar in the top lane. You know, a lot of people were saying, oh, they should pick Gnar. I don't think so. I don't think Gnar was really the right call, especially when Doka pulled out Rumble and went 7-2 again, and FBI went 5-1. I don't think you should have had a Gnar on your team. I don't think that would have helped you at all, and it clearly didn't. It was not a good series for Summit. You know, he had it. He tried his best, and I'll give him a round of applause for that, but they're still going to Worlds. They are just now in the qualifiers, so they have to play a couple of more games than the other teams to prove that they deserve to be in Worlds 2023, and that is last year when another NA team went to qualifiers, we actually won. We beat out Mad Lions, an EU team, for what seems like the first time, but it's really not, and we went three teams sending into group stage. Of course, we didn't move past group stage last year, which is a pretty bummer thing to have happen. But hopefully this year, you know, either NRG, Cloud9, or maybe even Team Liquid. Maybe this was the wake-up call they needed to get their head into the game and, you know, perform a little bit better. But let's move on to what happened with NRG versus Cloud9. Because frankly speaking, Cloud9 was the favorite to win. You know, everybody on Team Liquid pretty much said, oh yeah, Cloud9's going to win. Some people said, oh, it'll be 3-0. Some people said, oh yeah, Cloud9 will win, but NRG will at least take some games, if not send it to Game 5. But for it to only go to four games in the finals, with 12,000 people watching, because that's how many people were at the Prudential Center, 12,000 fans watching NRG come on back and take it 3-1, that is insane. And some of the players admitted that, for Cloud9, they admitted that NRG did wake up. You know, it was not the same team that they were fighting last in the upper bracket semifinals. You know, Sven, you know, Cloud9, people like to say that they're cocky, that they, you know, deserve to lose. They can admit when they lose, though. I will give Sven specifically that, you know, he takes it, he doesn't like losing. I mean, who does? Admittedly, like, who likes losing? Nobody. But he was able to take it very professionally, and that's what he does as a pro. You know, he's a seasoned veteran. It's not his first rodeo. It's not his first time going to Worlds. It's not his first time losing. It happens. But maybe this is a wake-up call for Cloud9 that, okay, you know, they came to play. Let's show up a little bit, and let's get better ourselves. And I'm actually very excited because I think next episode you're going to hear an interview with the head coach of Cloud9, Mythy. I was able to get an interview with him, and it's going to be fantastic because that could give you some insight into what Cloud9 is going through right now heading to Worlds, because Cloud9, despite everything, they are still one of the best teams in NA on the international stage. You know, it was 2 years ago now that they made it to the quarterfinals, which is something an NA team really hasn't done in recent years of League Esports. They are still one of the greatest teams to represent North America on the international stage. I firmly believe that. You know, Evil Geniuses, when Danny was around, they could have done it, but unfortunately Danny did step away to focus on himself, and EG kind of just fell apart. They kind of fell apart this year. I thought they were going to have a really good season and a real good showing, but they kind of just fizzled out. I'm hoping to see more from them next year when they come back. Other news, I think this is TSM's last year, which is really a bummer, because I realized this when actually being there of just how big a meme TSM is, because no matter where you are, they even do this overseas in the LCK, in the LEC, and all the other regions. They will just chant TSM for no apparent reason. Even if TSM isn't playing, you'll just hear chants going TSM, TSM, TSM. We do it in our friend group, and I never understood why until I actually went. So that was funny seeing. If it's true that TSM is selling their slot and becoming another team, that's going to be really sad. You know, TSM is one of the OGs. They were a fantastic team in, 2019, 2017, years like that. They did win the LCS championship consecutively at one point in history. So if they are truly going to be gone for good, it's going to be a lofty farewell. I'm going to miss them greatly. But I am excited, because look at NRG. NRG came from CLG slot, and now they've won the championship in their first year, shutting down, by the way, Cloud9's chance to win 3 years in a row consecutively, something that hasn't happened in a while. And, you know, I wonder what the emotions are going through of Cloud9, because they were on the cusp of, you know, cementing a legacy. That is a legacy win right there. Three in a row, consecutive LCS champions. Maybe next year they can start their streak up again and, you know, say, hey, this is the future of Cloud9. We've woken up. We're here to play. We're here to show that we're the best for a reason. But no, it's just such good games. Especially NRG woke up in their games against Cloud9. You can see it. They focused a lot more top with Dokla. You know, they dived a lot more top lane. They got a lot more kills top lane, and it really helped the solo laners. Meanwhile, FBI, you know, even though there were roams and not too much attention bot lane, he held his ground. I mean, in game three, he went 16-1. That is one federal agent. I say that, but his name actually doesn't come from the actual FBI. It's something from, I think, Australia, where he's originally from. It's like a coffee shop or something like that. Something along those lines. But it's not the actual FBI. That's not where he gets his name from. That'd be funny, though. Game 5, also a huge game for NRG. You know, I'll give Cloud9 this. It was definitely one of their closer games of the three that they lost. You know, it was only 17-8, where in game 2 was 16-5. Game 3, it was 29-10, so throw that out of the window. And then game 4, it was 17-8. And this is a real good compliment towards NRG. You know, against their game in Team Liquid, and specifically Piosig, they were heavily going towards objectives. You know, they just favored objectives. They wanted quick objectives. By the time it reached like 15 minutes, it felt like three dragons had already been taken and they were going to have a 20-minute soul, which was kind of the case for some of those, more like 22 minutes or something like that. It was quick dragons, and NRG did not know how to keep up pace with that. However, they learned from it, they were able to copy it, and they were able to effectively use objective control against Cloud9. You know, if you look at all four games, NRG had more dragons and sometimes even more barons, or all the barons, up against Cloud9. You know, game one, they had three Dragons compared to two. Cloud9 did have Baron, but that was the game that Cloud9 won. So, all right, that makes sense. But still, they had three Dragons. Game two, they had four Dragons, two Barons, that's Soul also, compared to Cloud9's one Dragon. One Dragon. In game three, three Barons again, four Dragons, compared to Cloud9's just two Dragons. So fantastic objective control at the hands of NRG, and it shows that, yeah, they're learning. They are learning, they are copying, they are using effectively. I can't wait to see how their performance is in Worlds. Let's take a quick break. When we come up, we're going to discuss some pre-patch notes for 13.7, as well as a new champion. Already? But that's coming up right here on 93.5. We are the Stay Connected Podcast. Don't go anywhere. All right, welcome back to the Stay Connected Podcast, your Central Jersey esports podcast. My name is Jared Eastman, bringing you everything about the big worldwide of esports. I didn't see that right at all. We're talking about patch 13.17 that is coming up. Riot is also saying that there is a new champion in the works, and I'm really excited about that. But it also feels too soon. I mean, we just got Nefiri. Why are we already getting a new champion? I understand you have your roadmap of where you're going and what you're releasing. But number one, you're doing another jungler. Nefiri is a jungler and a mid laner. More so, probably best in jungle, to be honest. And we got Nefiri what seems like maybe a month ago now. And we're already getting a new champion. I don't think it's coming this patch. It'll probably be within the next couple of patches. I imagine before Worlds brackets are announced, which would be in like October-ish, maybe mid-September. I'm not too sure on the timeline. We're still waiting on the LEC to wrap up. But in this patch, what is a good note is that they are banning some of the highest win rate junglers, or not banning, nerfing some of the highest win rate junglers. That includes Kayn, Kindred, and Kha'Zix. What they're exactly doing to these champions, I don't know fully. I only have speculations, and I'm excited to see it, though. You know, I hate Kindred. It always seems like whenever I have a Kindred, they're terrible. Kayn is one of those champions that it's a real hit or miss. You know, I know some fantastic Kayn players. Oh my god, wait. I just realized I'm a gold player now, guys. I ranked up from silver. I no longer am a silver player. I can proudly say I am now a gold player. I completely forgot about that because it just went so quick. I was on like an 8-game win streak at silver 3 and I just climbed gold. And it doesn't feel real, by the way. Back on topic. Champions that are also in here are Lux and Orianna, as well as Samira. I'm glad to see that because Samira, she's broken, but like not overtly broken. But she's getting a health increase, supposedly, going up only by 30. If that's all they're touching with her, little underwhelming, but I get it. They don't want to make her too broken. Why are we touching Lux? Why are we touching Lux? Unless it's a massive nerf, which I will take. I will take. Supposedly, according to this, mana regen is being reduced from 8 to 7, so that's a little nerf. Passive damage is being increased from 20 to 190 plus 20% AP to 30 to 20 plus 25% AP. So she's getting a AP bust nerf or sorry buff, not nerf, just a straight up increase on that. That doesn't need to happen. No, stop it. And then her Q cooldown is getting changed from 11 seconds at all ranks, scaling downwards from 11 to 9 seconds. Why would you do that? No, you don't need to do that. Because Lux, the thing about her is she can ult basically every 20 to 30 seconds late game. So you're just making her be able to stun every 2 seconds and then ult every 30 seconds. No, that's ridiculous. The only thing I like in this is that they're nerfing your E damage, supposedly, from 70 to 270, going down to 65 to 265. So only a 5 damage decrease? No. Stop it. That the buffs she's getting are not worth the nerfs she's getting. It doesn't work out. It is bad. My friend Cactus will like this because he's been really good at Twisted Fate recently. Especially like attack speed Twisted Fate. His Q ability power ratio is being increased by 10%, going from 80 to 90. So that's going to be some extra damage on his Q ability. My friend Ben will actually like this because Tryndamere has kind of been bad, and my friend is a one-trick Tryndamere. Really can't play anything else, but we don't tell him that. Shh. He knows. He knows it. Attack range for Tryndamere is being increased by 50. That is huge for a melee champion, especially. I am actually happy about to see this. Vex is getting a buff, it looks like. Her W cooldown is being reduced by about 4 seconds in the early game. That'll help her out. Her Q damage is being increased in early to late game by 10. Not too bad. Her R ping now mentions any enemies that are in range. That is huge. That's a huge buff to her R. Because the way Vex works is she shoots out her R in a straight line, and if you know, if it hits anybody while it's traveling, it marks them and she can jump to them. Kind of like a Nocturne ult, except you don't need vision. Where Nocturne, you need to see the person to click on them to go to them. With Vex, you can shoot blind, you can shoot with them in vision, you can shoot anywhere. You could even shoot across walls and completely hit somebody. It'll mark that person, and you can choose whether you go to them or not. The problem is, it could be a trap where there are, you know, a couple other people waiting nearby, and suddenly you're in like a 1v3 situation, which is terrible. Now it'll mention if there are any enemies in that range. That's good to know. Oh, that's fantastic, because that completely, that's information. In professional esports, I'm learning as I'm watching. Information is everything, just like in regular sports. You know, having vision, having control, having, you know, knowledge to help you win a team fight is everything in League. And I'm very excited to see what else is going to be in patch 13.17. But for now, that is it. That is all we have for today. My name is Jared Eastman. This is the Stay Connected Podcast on 93.5. You can go to our website at foxsportsradionewjersey.com under the podcast tab to check out anything you've missed, as well as previous episodes to the Stay Connected Podcast, because even if they're old episodes, you can still learn, so that way you can listen to future episodes. Everybody have a fantastic day. Don't forget, you can check us out on the website or live 10:30 to 11 on Sundays. Everybody have a fantastic day. I'm out.